Okay, ready? Here we go. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? John 11 verses 25 and 26. Here we go again. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? John 11 verses 25 and 26.
This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. And I will continue to be glad in it, no matter what the situation comes, no matter what is sad, no matter what newsreel is going. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I choose to rejoice and be glad in it and not be taken by the things of this world. Last week, Kathy Craig taught us on chapter 10, and I am so excited about what God is teaching in chapter 11. Chapter 10 spills over into chapter 11. So when I say what I'm going to say right now, God has taken us to a different direction when we go to chapter 11. So we're going to go into chapter 10, and I want you to know that it is not in any way a reflection on Kathy's teaching. Kathy did a great job, and I don't want anybody to think that she missed that, and we got to talk about this. This is the direction that the Lord wants to take us, and so I have to go in that direction. So the Lord really has laid on my heart the importance to our listening to him and paying attention to him, and the importance of not only that we listen, but how we listen to him. How do we listen to the Lord? And so, Father, as we just look into your word right now, we pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would anoint this time. Father, that you would go before us, that you would lead us, and that you would direct us into the way that you want us to go. Father, that we would hear from you, that our hearts would be open to what you want to say, that our minds would be open to what you want to say. Lord, that we would be sensitive to the Holy Spirit who is amongst us, Lord. We want to be so aware of your presence with us. And we want to give glory and honor and praise to your name, Lord. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And so when we do go into chapter 11, most of you know the story of Lazarus. And you've gone over it so many times, you could just kind of recite what was going on with Lazarus and how this happened, and this represents that, and this represents that. And so the Lord is going to take us in a different direction tonight. So your homework that you put together so well, you're not known your Bible study that you put together so well is probably not going to have any of these questions on it. So we're going to start with chapter 10 and looking at verse 2, beginning with verse 2, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, in front of them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out in with that security and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The hireling flees, verse 13. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, verse 16, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment I have received from my Father. And down in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, as we were going over the videos and stuff that were on Saturday, and I was looking at them, I found this other video. We talked about it last Tuesday as well. This other video that explains to us about how a shepherd, how the sheep pay attention to the voice of their shepherd. They pay attention to the voice of their shepherd because they are familiar with his voice. They are used to hearing his voice. And when you're watching this little video clip that we're going to show, hopefully the online watchers will be able to hear the video, although I understand they may not be able to view it. Don't give up. Don't give up. We will be back for you and include you in the rest of it. But watch as the others attempt to use the same words and tone of the shepherd, but the sheep only pay attention to their own shepherd's voice because they're used to hearing his voice. Note when you're watching it how some of the little sheep will go, "Yeah, no." Okay, so we're just going to run that clip right now. Did you notice how some of them went, "Yeah, no, I don't know you." See, they're not fooled. They're not fooled by someone else that's coming in and trying to get their attention. And God calls us to something more like that. And so the reason that I want you to think about listening to the shepherd's voice is because in chapter 11, we're going to look at how people listened to the shepherd's voice. How did they listen to it? Did they just listen, or how did they listen to it? How was it all put together? And so we know that a certain man was sick. We know that person was Lazarus. How many of you here have never read the story of Lazarus? You don't know what I'm talking about when I say this story. Okay, good. Fine. Great. We can move on then. And so it says that Lazarus of Bethany, of the town of Mary, her sister, and her sister Martha, and it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair. Why is that in there? Why is the attention brought to this particular Mary that was the one who anointed him with oil and wiped his feet with her hair? Now, there in chapter 12, we're going to go over it where Mary does that again. But I would submit to you, and I would not be surprised if this was not the same person who is unnamed that we've put the name of Mary Magdalene to. Perhaps she went by a different name at that particular time. It wouldn't surprise me if the Mary of Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 38, wasn't this Mary, because he who is forgiven much loves much. And we see the love that Mary has for the Savior. And so in chapter 7 of Luke, it says they were in Capernaum, and Jesus was at the Pharisee's house. And in verse 37, it says, "And behold, a woman in the city was a sinner." It starts out with a woman in the city was a sinner. An unnamed woman who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. There is no mention of Mary and Martha and Lazarus's parents. It says that they all lived together in Bethany. One of the things that I learned about Bethany, and I've known this for a long time, that Bethany, and I'm sorry to my daughter that we named her that, but it means house of poverty. And so they were living in house of poverty. So maybe it was a poor area, maybe not. It was given that name, House of Poverty. And there they were, all living together. I'm thinking about the idea of perhaps Mary had left that area, gone into Capernaum, and she needed to find herself. And she wanted to know who she was and got all mixed up in all kinds of things. And then when Jesus came into the town and she was introduced to Jesus, she found herself washing his feet with her tears and anointing his feet with oil. Now, again, when we get into chapter 12, we're going to see that that anointing was for his burial. And that's what it was. And when we get into chapter 12. So why is that there? I think that it's there that reminds us that the woman who is unnamed is now the woman who is named here. And what she did is recorded right here for all to see, that she was that Mary that did that. And therefore the sister sent to him saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." He whom you love is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God." Number one, it is for the glory of God, but that the Son of God may be glorified through it. This sickness is not unto death. Remember that phrase. This sickness is not unto death, but for the purpose of the glorification of God. And so now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. So when he heard he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. That makes no sense. When he heard that his friend was sick, when he heard that his friend was very sick, he has a runner that's coming to him, he stayed because he loved him so much. He needed them to know the glory of God. He needed them to know what God can do in a life that's wholly submitted unto him. And so because he loved them, he stayed where he was at for 2 more days in the place where he was. And then after that, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." And the disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again?" And Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day or walks in the light, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world." And Jesus, "I am the light of the world." But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. These things he said. And after that, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." And then the disciples said, "Well, Lord, if he's asleep, then let him, he's going to get well." However, Jesus had spoken of his death. And as you studied it, you realized that that's what was being said. But they thought that he was speaking about him just resting in sleep. And then Jesus says plainly to them, "Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad that for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." Up in verse 4, he said, "This sickness is not unto death." But here we find that Lazarus is dead. How does he say this? But as we also see in verse 6, he says that, but the glory of God, this is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. And then Thomas goes, okay, fine, let's go. We're all going to die anyway, so we might as well just die with him. Let's get on board with where he wants to go and what he wants to do. And so good old Thomas, I love Thomas. I love the fact that he was just, this is who I am. This is who I am. There was no falsehood about him. There was no facade in his life. This is who I am. We're all going to die anyway, so let's just go with him. And so Jesus came, and he found them there. So the sisters sent for him, and he took them. It took the messengers 9 hours to get to Jesus. So that's day number one. 9 hours to walk that. It was approximately 20 miles. And so 9 hours to get there. So that's the first day. The messenger is traveling those 9 hours. He gets to him. He tells him the story. Then Jesus waits two more days before leaving. And then on the fourth day, perhaps they left in the morning, but they would arrive probably in the early evening or late afternoon, and that would be on the fourth day when they got there. So that's how that all comes together, that 9-hour walk that it takes them to get there. And so moving down into verse 20, okay, 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. They're all wailing. That's just something that you did. You hired people to cry, hired them to wail for them. And in verse 20, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. So Mary has not yet known that Jesus has arrived. Martha did not tell her. She just ran out to meet him. And now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha says, I know. Can you just see her? I know. I know this. I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes, trusts in, relies on, clings to, adheres in me shall never die. Do you believe this? To Martha, he said. And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the God, who is to come into the world. Yes, I know that. Okay, fine. Now what? We don't have any more conversation going on there at that particular time. Let's take a look at how Martha listened to the shepherd. Martha says, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Yes, Lord, I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. I would submit to you that Martha, how Martha listened to the shepherd was, she was one of the people who listens while they're preparing for the next thing that they're going to say as soon as Jesus closed his mouth. Do you know anybody like that? Are you one of those? I have been at times. You know, you come up with, there's somebody's talking to you, and I got an answer for you. Oh, this is going to blow you away as soon as I say it. I just know it. She was preparing. She had gone to Jesus with an agenda on what he needed to do. I'm going to tell you what you need to do. Tell you what you need to do. She was ready to let him know what he needed to do. She told him her feelings. She came with an agenda. Let me tell you what would have happened if you hadn't dilly-dallied around waiting. And finally, she's saying, whatever. And she went to tell Mary that he was there. Whatever. Yes, I know you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yes, I know that. Yes, okay, I believe that. And I believe that she was grieving. And I believe also that she was a very strong personality. We have evidence of that. And so I love the book that having a merry heart in a Martha world. Having a merry heart in a Martha world. It's just so good. We live in a Martha world, but God calls us to have a merry heart. And so she comes to him, and then in verse 28, and when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and he's calling for you. Now, we don't have evidence that he was calling for her, but it would be a normal thing that he would be asking about Mary as well. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. And now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. And then the Jews who were with her in the house with Mary and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. And so she was going out to meet Jesus. And then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She fell at his feet in worship. If you had been here, I know that my brother would not have died. Mary listened to the shepherd in a very different way. She immediately went out to meet him, just like Martha. She told him how she felt, just like Martha. But she told him while she was weeping. There's no further commentary with her at this time, but Jesus, seeing her pain, participated in it, and it says, and Jesus wept. He wept with we weep with those who weep, and we rejoice with those who rejoice. And yes, he was probably, other things were on his mind, but I see him just doing what his word says, that we weep with those who weep, and we rejoice with those who rejoice. He saw her pain and looked into her heart. You know, when a Christian passes from this life to the next, we weep for ourselves because of what we don't have anymore. I don't have them near me. I don't have them close to me. I will miss them greatly. And yet, for the person that passes, who is a believer, it's a joyous time of rejoicing. It comes to my mind of Sharon Reese, who passed away just several days ago. Raul Reese's wife, Sharon. What an amazing woman she was. An amazing woman. She spent a lot of time down in Chile doing missionary work. She was a missionary's daughter. She just loved people. She loved them to know about Jesus. She wanted to share Jesus with every chance she could. I remember when she used to teach us at the pastor's wives conferences, and it was always, keep a missions mind. Keep a missions mind. Always remember, it's about telling people about Jesus. It's not about anything else. It's about sharing the gospel and how what a wonderful thing. She was so full of faith. And so her last teaching was entitled The Warrior. And that's what Sharon was. She was a warrior for the Lord. And she so fulfilled the Psalm 116:15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And I love how Raul and the family are just, they're weeping because they're going to miss her. But at the same time, they have a joy in knowing that they're going to see her again. And just the peace that you can see, it's not a facade. It's not something that they're pretending. They really believe this. And so they know that they're going to see her again. And so they have a peace that surpasses all understanding, that keeps their mind in Christ Jesus. And so as we move on in here, so Lazarus is dead. And then in verse 38, Jesus is groaning in himself because people are saying, couldn't he have saved him from this? And so they went to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha right away argues with him. Have you ever argued with God when he tells you to do something? Martha right away says, he stinketh. King James, old King James. He stinketh. It's going to be so smelly in there. Because death stinks. Every part of death stinks. And so right away she's arguing, well, we can't move that rock away because it's going to be so awful. And so, verse 40, Jesus said to her, didn't I say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? So Martha, could you just lighten up? Give me a minute, okay? I've got something I want to show you. And then they took away the stone. Now, they were listening. I want to know, did it stink? When they moved the rock, did it have the odor of death? In the morning, one of the ladies said, absolutely. It would have had the odor of death because he hadn't been brought back yet. And I would say that that odor left immediately, to add to what she said. I believe, and it doesn't matter. It has no eternal value whatsoever. I just wonder about these things, the things I wonder about. So anyway, there was the stink of death, but I believe that when Jesus said, and so then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. Father, I thank you that you heard me. Jesus very often had time just with he and his Father. In his time of prayer, in his time of speaking to his Father, he was just the two of them. But here he is, he's saying, I thank you, Father, that you have heard me. And in verse 42, and I know that you always hear me, but I'm saying this out loud so that the people who are standing by, that they may believe that you sent me. I'm saying this out loud so that those who are seeing this happening know that it is you who has sent me, that I am who I say I am. And so they paid attention to him, and they removed the stone. And here again in verse 43, here we are again with my sheep hear my voice. Jesus the shepherd calls out to his little lamb Lazarus, come forth, calls him by name, Lazarus, come forth. And because Lazarus knew his shepherd's voice, he came hopping out of the tomb. He would have hopped out of the tomb because he was all wrapped up. And his legs were all together. And so he hopped up, his face covered with the cloth as well. And he comes up. If he hadn't said, I know that most of you have heard this before, if he had not named Lazarus, all of the people would have come out of the grave. But he called him by name only. And Lazarus, even in that place, you know where Lazarus was at when he was called? He was in paradise. He was there with Moses. He was there with Daniel. He was there with Nehemiah. He was there with the Old Testament prophets. He was there with them. And Jesus says, come on out of paradise. Come back to this. And he comes immediately. He comes. That life was given to him. Lazarus listened and obeyed, but Lazarus will die again. But this time when he dies, he will see the face of Jesus, because Jesus will have resurrected. And that's okay. All this was done for the glory of God, just like Jesus said earlier to his disciples and later to Martha, that your brother will rise again and hear again in his prayer to the Father. And now they are listening to him when Jesus says, loose him and let him go. They paid close attention and they loosed him in verse 45. Then many, underline that, many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did, believed in him, but some went and tattled. Some went to the priests and had the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus did. And then the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, what shall we do? For this man works many signs. Verse 48, if we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him. Everyone will believe in him. What kind of faith is that? They believed that if Jesus were there, that everybody would believe in him. Do you believe that everybody will believe in Jesus? This would be a good time to answer. Do you believe that everybody would come to Jesus? They did. And they knew that if everybody came to Jesus, they would lose everything. And so rather than to lose the things of this world, they sought to kill him, to put an end to his life. But what happened? In verse 49, and one of them, Caiaphas, being high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing at all, nor do you consider that this is expedient for us, that one man should die for the people, and not that the whole nation should perish. Now this he did not say on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also that he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad. And so Caiaphas, the high priest, unknowingly prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation and not for that nation only, but also that he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad. That he would die for the sins of the world. Caiaphas prophesied that, not even realizing that that's what he was saying. And he was the high priest, not even recognizing that. He had no idea that he was preaching the gospel, the good news that Jesus came to be the sacrifice for all of the sins of all of the world. And so in verse 53, then from that day on, they plotted to put him to death. Therefore, Jesus no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there into the country near the wilderness to a city called Ephraim, and there remained with his disciples. And the Passover of the Jews was near, and many went from the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then they sought Jesus and spoke among themselves as they stood in the temple. What do you think? Do you think he's going to show up? Do you think he's going to fulfill the necessary thing that he's supposed to do, that he's supposed to show up at this feast? Verse 57. Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a command that if anyone knew where he was, he should report it, that they might seize him. They're looking for Jesus, but they didn't see him. They won't see him until chapter 12, because God's timing is always perfect. God's timing is always perfect. And whatever you're thinking about right now when I say that, I want to remind you that God's timing is always perfect. It's always perfect. So let me ask you, how do you hear the shepherd's voice? How do you hear the shepherd's voice? Sometimes you'll hear him calling to you to worship him in song with a thankful heart. Sometimes you'll hear him calling you to come away, my beloved, for some quiet time with just the two of you. Sometimes you'll hear him calling you to come and pray and seek my face. Sometimes you'll hear him calling you to repent, to confess your sin. Sometimes you'll hear him calling you to lay down something, to let it go, and see the salvation of the Lord. Jesus is calling you right now. Answer him as quickly as you answer your cell phone. How that little device gets our attention. Well, I don't answer it right away, but don't you look for who's calling? You grab it as soon as it rings. Oh, I gotta find out. And you're checking it every once in a while to make sure you haven't missed something. Let's listen for God's voice in the same way, the shepherd's voice in the same way. Let's keep checking to see if he's saying anything. Let's pay attention to him. Find out what he wants to say into our lives. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So let's stay close. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord, and as we get into our small groups, we pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would go before us, Lord, and that we would minister to you as we minister to one another, Lord, as we seek your direction for our lives, as we put our trust in you. We want to glorify you. We want to hear your voice. We want to respond to your voice in the same way that the sheep did in that video. Lord, we want to lift up our heads as soon as we hear you speaking, and run to you. And we thank you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.
Jesus, we worship you for all you are. Father, we want to bow our whole life down. Spirit, invade the broken places in our hearts.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
In the power of your name, I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on. In the power of your name.